Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location this week at Statesville Haunted Prison in Chicagoland. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is
Ryan, the movie guy. And this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, it is our Halloween special. We came out here last year. We're back out at Statesville this year. It's a total pleasure. We love being at Statesville Haunted Prison.
I certainly do. Yeah.
You are totally a haunted house connoisseur.
Listen, if I may use an expletive, I'm a pig in shit at Statesville Haunted Prison. I love this stuff.
I drove out here, Jawheads, this week, and Matt was like foaming at the mouth as we were pulling up to Statesville. He gets so excited. You're like a kid in the backseat going to
this is
Great
true.
America.
I do. I'm like bouncing up and down. I love it.
And of course, we are going to be joined by the guy who started this whole thing, this whole craze. It is literally a craze out here. What suburb are we in? Is it Aurora?
We're in Crest Hill.
Crest Hill.
No, we're in Trivia. Near Aurora.
Trivia for you. We're in Crest Hill.
We're in the capital of Crest Hill. I believe it's Statesville Haunted Prison.
We have John
LaFlamboy. We do more traffic than anyone else in Crest Hill's this haunted house.
John LaFlamboy joining us again. I think this now is about a fifth appearance maybe on Cinema Jaw.
Feels like, maybe on four or five now,
Boy, oh boy.
It's been a few. It's been a few. All right, what else is going? Because I got questions for this man.
Oh, absolutely. John's going to be joining us. We got an interview with him and talk about the haunted house. He's got a web series about the haunted house we're going to talk to him about. In addition to that, Matt, we go eye for an eye this week on Fury, the new Brad Pitt World War II movie.
Mm-hmm.
We have two theater reviews for you, Jawheads, Gone Girl and The Judge with Robert Downey Jr.
Nice.
Plus, in honor of Fury, with not only Brad Pitt, but also Shia LaBeouf, you will be taking John on in Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf movie trivia.
Ooh.
I like my LaBeouf.
And
that's all I'm going to say.
If the Jawheads missed it on the internet, there's been news breaking that it is official. There is going to be a female Ghostbusters movie, and I can't believe absolutely how ridiculous that sounds. It's
what?
Stupid.
No.
They should have never even went that
what
route.
What are you talking about?
It's just dumb.
What?
I hate
what you
I don't
a problem with women
to,
doing
no,
it?
I don't want a sequel to the Ghostbusters. I don't want women being Ghostbusters.
You're wrong.
It's a male
crew. See? There, the truth
don't
comes out.
Want women being Ghostbusters.
See? See?
Oh, my God.
Cinema War.
That's going to be a good one. And we're going to throw it to John. He is a really good judge for this one
as
well.
Yeah, he's not a misogynist. That's the whole key to this argument.
And in addition to that, if it wasn't enough of that, because we are at Statesville Haunted Prison, our top five this week is our top five scariest scenes in movies of the past 5 years.
Yeah, so we've been doing this show for 5 years, and it gets, I mean, we've covered horror every October. We're delving deep. We're doing scenes of the past 5 years.
Which is awesome. I know John, again, is going to be an expert.
And I take back my comment. You're not a misogynist, Ryan. He's a very, very chivalrous dude and lovely with the girls.
Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome. It should be said.
So without further ado, Matt, our guest this week, John LaFlamboy, took this little farmhouse out here in Crestwood, as we learned, turned it into the biggest haunted house in the state of Illinois. It is Statesville Haunted Prison. John, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me back. I do have fun with these interviews in which we get to drink beer during. I always say it's one of my favorites. I never get to drink beer at work, well, because it's my rule not to drink beer at work. But in this case, Cinema Jaws.
This
here,
isn't
man.
Work.
This is beer worthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why don't you go ahead and plug the sponsor? You actually have a sponsor
this
year. This is how big Statesville has gotten, Jawheads. There is a beer sponsoring the haunted house.
What's great is as big as Statesville has gotten, the beer sponsor is not actually for Statesville. The beer sponsor is for our web series, Days of the Living Dead, which is a behind the scenes of all that we do with Zombie Army Productions, with the haunted houses, the trade shows, the parties, the shenanigans, and the drama, the buckets of drama. we are real lucky to have Revolution Beer as our official sponsor for Days of the Living Dead. So
that's awesome.
It's great. It's great having them on board. They're cool. They're fun. They give us free beer. I mean, what more can I ask for? I love these people.
Free beer is good enough, right?
Yeah, and since you mentioned the web series, we'll start there because obviously you started this haunted house now over 10 years ago now.
Oh, yeah, much more than that.
15.
What are we, 15 now?
15.
Jesus Christ, I'm getting old. Yeah, 15 years.
But the web series is relatively new. This is maybe the second or third year that you've been doing the web series?
Yeah, it's a reboot. You know, we've done different incarnations of documentary stuff, web stuff. And this is the new version by Yokai Productions and Zombie Army, Days of the Living Dead. And we are in our second season with the reboot. And it's five seasons altogether.
Wow. And that's got to be pretty awesome, because right now, reality TV and, like, how did they do that kind of stuff is huge. And there isn't a whole lot with the behind the scenes of haunted houses.
I don't think there's any other.
There's nothing, really. I mean, we looked out there, and that's kind of the whole thing is, you know, I spend so many of my conversations, whether it's at a bar or a family party, and as soon as I say I do haunted houses for a living, the next question is, well, tell me about that. Or my favorite, what do you do for the other 11 months of the year?
Right.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Yeah, no one understands. This is easily 10 months out of the year on this project.
Yeah, and that too, you were telling us last year, how much you change of the haunted house. There's like a certain percentage that you go out of your way, no matter what, to change so that the people who are returning customers have something to look forward to.
Just every year at Statesville, we tear out 30 to 40%, which is the equivalent of two single-family homes.
That's
the equivalent of new lumber, new electrics, new everything. Two single family homes.
That's awesome.
We take it real serious. We want to give our audience something new, you know. And you're not cutting edge if you're sitting on your ass because you're popular. And we take it real serious. We go out to these trade shows. We go out to conventions. We take classes. We study. We study everything from haunted houses to theme park infrastructure. You name it, I'll find a way to get something out of it to make this place better. And that's really where the web series kind of comes in is, you know, there's so much more than just running a haunted house that goes into producing a haunted house, let alone three. You know,
right.
we don't do just Statesville. So it's the web series follows us with that. It takes us from that moment where I'm playing with Legos and my dining room table, designing new rooms with Legos, to the trade shows where I'm buying props and new technology.
Do you really use Legos?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Do you ever take pictures of those?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Really?
Sure.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I gotta start seeing those.
No, it's like I've got this new haunted house that we used at Riot Fest, and now it is sitting on a barge at Navy Pier, and I built that entire thing scale out of Legos, so that I could walk through the design with all of my designers and explain to them what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And also sight lines and how the audience moves and where you want to put an actor. Because those little Lego guys, those are great. You can put them everywhere. So it really gives me an opportunity to communicate my concept, my storyline, what I want to achieve by walking through a three-dimensional model.
This is almost like a storyboard in the movies.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sort of describing what's going to happen.
It's a three-dimensional storyboard.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to mention this to our listeners who obviously this is an auditory medium. So if they're probably imagining you, John, like sitting back wearing a suit, smoking a big cigar or something. This man, and I don't think I've ever seen him any other way except for a couple of exceptions. Is wearing a tactical gear suit with spikes all over it. He's got the makeup on his face. You pretty much, and that's how I saw you at Riot Fest, too.
Yeah,
you're
sure.
Full tilt into this. Like,
well, yeah.
You look like a little bit of a road warrior this time with those spikes coming off your shoulders.
Yeah, this is old school. This is like, I mean, look at these shoulder pads. I've had these shoulder pads for a decade.
Yeah, that is sweet.
See how they're all worn out from hitting walls and whatnot. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, here's the thing. You don't get into haunted houses because you want to make a lot of money. You know, I'm a theater guy. I grew up on stage, got a theater education at Southern Illinois University, and I do haunted houses because I love it. You know, it's a lot of fun. I get to tell stories, and at the end of the day, I'm a storyteller, whether it's film, theater, or haunted houses. I have a story. I want to tell it, and I don't want to tell it wearing a suit smoking a cigar like a douchebag. I like to do what I love to do, and I like putting on a costume and jumping in there and scaring people or making them laugh or singing them a song.
Right.
Especially in this outfit. When I start singing love songs to people, it really puts them...
That's a creepy move right there.
A little on their heels of that one. But also, it's just great because I'm the director of the show. You know, and these are hard nights. You know, this is not easy business. I'm not saying that I have the hardest job in the world, but we have thousands and thousands and thousands of people that come through a night. And you're doing improv acting for 5 to 6 to 7 hours sometimes. And it must be great because that's what they paid for.
And while you're talking about the numbers here, so you would say thousands per night are coming through the door.
Oh, yeah.
How many are actually working at the haunted house?
We have a staff of 150 to 200, depending on how busy of a night. You know, on the bigger nights, we're going to want to have more staff just so we can give more breaks to our actors. But, yeah, we always start with 150. And with those 150... You know, if I walk around and tell them to work harder, you know, move around faster,
yeah.
You know, what a jerk I am if I'm wearing a nice leather jacket and, hey, work harder than I'm working right now while I go relax somewhere.
It's right. Like, but you're talking 150 actors in the house, not to mention all the people out in the parking lot that are helping park the cars, the people that are selling the tickets. It's a humongous operation when you come out to Statesville. Yeah, I'm so impressed every time.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We were driving up here and we stopped off at the gas station. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I wonder how much money Statesville brings to this local economy. Seriously, dude.
Well, those gas stations love us, man.
They must.
Also, like, because people are coming out from Chicago, so they see the gas prices.
Right. I swear, we were pulled into this gas station, and there had to be at least eight cars. You could tell these people were coming to Statesville.
We're all going to Statesville.
They had that, like, look. You know, they were young teenage kids. And I was like, they're all going to Statesville. Yeah. This guy's bringing in money to the local economy.
Oh, yeah. Up and down Weber Road, up to 55, everyone is making money.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, great. I mean, and you
it's
know,
an
in
accomplishment,
this age, we're like,
dude.
Economies are rough and people have a hard time. It's good to see, you know, one little pocket, one little thing thriving.
That's awesome.
And we've done well.
Before we get to more about the web series and also Navy Pier, true or false question to you, John.
Yeah, what's up?
Did Macaulay Culkin go through the haunted house at Riot Fest?
Hell yeah, he did. I laugh because I didn't know it was Macaulay Culkin. It's kind of an embarrassing moment where I saw this skinny hipster at the front door. He was clearly the next person in the next group going in, and he was laughing and having a good time. Those are my favorite customers, the ones who are having a good time. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to go mess with that skinny hipster. So I went up there and started scaring him, doing my thing, having fun. And the next thing I knew, we were in a dance-off. And I'm like, oh, this hipster wants to dance. All right. So I danced, and we do this goofy little dance off and kind of laugh, you know, high five. I turn around and there's like 15 cameras pointed. I'm like, seriously, people, I am not that impressive of a dancer. What the hell? And they're like, no, dude, that's Macaulay Culkin. I'm like, no shit. I had no idea.
So you had no idea you had a dance off with Macaulay Culkin?
No idea until everyone told me.
Wow.
So yeah, it was really cool. He came through. It seemed like he had a real good time because when he left, he was laughing, clapping, telling everyone good job. So, yeah, it was fun. It was fun to have him come through.
That's pretty awesome.
That is.
Now, you mentioned that you built this barge at Navy Pier.
Well, I didn't build the barge. Yeah, I'm not that nautical.
You put a haunted house on a barge.
I rented a barge, and then I put a haunted house on a barge.
Now, is that what's going on over
at
Navy Pier?
That's a real thing. People think I'm lying about that.
Wow.
Like, you didn't put a haunted house on a barge. Nobody does that.
Wait, so is the scare at Navy Pier this year on the water?
Yeah. Now tell us.
No kidding.
Yeah, right?
From what I've read, this whole thing is totally new, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, it's a new concept. We wanted to do something new at Navy Pier. You know, we had for years been doing a show there that it worked. It was okay. But I learned a lot about my audience. It's not the typical audience I get here at Statesville. And that was an adjustment I wanted to make. We get more tourists. We get more families. We get people from countries that never heard of a haunted house and they only bought the ticket because they thought they were supposed to. So they don't know what they're walking into. So I wanted to do something a little different. And I figured since I was doing something different, I really decided it was a great opportunity to just kind of rewrite the whole script. You know, do something completely out of the box. So it started with where the hell are we going to put it? Because Navy Pier is under a lot of construction right
now. Sure,
there is not a lot of, you know, square footage to work with. So I decided to put it on a barge because I figured, you know, why not? No one else does that. I've never seen a haunted house on a barge before.
That's awesome.
But a barge is a very utilitarian craft. You know, it is what you need it to be.
Right.
And that's what I liked about it. You know, there wasn't a lot really to figure out there. You know, we had to work with the Coast Guard and naval engineers. And I know a lot of nautical terms right now that I never knew before. A lot about that lake that I didn't know before, because oh boy, once you start dealing with the Coast Guard, you better study up some.
There's a zombie in the water.
Does it go out on the lake?
So no, what it is we brought this barge in, we put the haunted house on the barge.
Okay,
and then,
so it's docked.
Then we tugboated it, and we docked it. Yeah, absolutely. Water's way too rough to do anything else.
Sure.
I only know that because it wasn't docked properly for my training night. And that water threw me around like a rag doll as I'm trying to go through that haunted house training people. So it's properly docked now. So now it gives you this really great feeling. Because here's the thing. You have to leave land. You know, I'm always trying to get customers to feel uncomfortable with their present situation.
Right.
Before the scares happen.
This
before we start
something.
Doing things.
Yeah.
Psychologically, you have to walk up these metal gangways. Nobody likes walking up towards something they're afraid of. It's in your DNA not to do that. and now you have to cross off of land onto an unstable surface in the water. This also people do not like. Our wiring is not meant for this. Everything says go back. This was a bad idea, which is great because I already got them before they ever walk in. But they walk into is also something new. Like I said, I wanted to take the opportunity as a chance to do something different. So I've designed a comedy horror haunted house. I figured I am a comedy horror filmmaker.
Right.
So why not take a stab at a haunted house that is rooted in comedy first? And so that's what we did. You know, it's not a scary haunted house that has some funny moments. It is a comedy-driven haunted house that has some terrifying moments in it.
Awesome.
And people have grabbed onto this comedy horror thing. It's a lot more palatable for the audience than I had expected. I'm pleasantly surprised by the feedback.
You mentioned that this is pretty similar or the exact same show you did at Riot Fest?
No, it's a little different. I mean, in Riot Fest, we had more of this Statesville kind of flair to it. It was also brand new, so we were kind of learning a lot. You know, we could bring the haunted house to Riot Fest and do a 3-day, 12-hour-a-day balls-out run. And we brought a lot of Statesville people, sort of little things were different. When we brought it to Navy Pier, we adjusted some stuff. It's very similar to what was at Riot Fest, absolutely.
Well, yeah, I had a chance to go through, and I got to say, it was top-notch.
Oh,
man.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Thank you.
Still the zombie sort of theme?
Still zombie containment. Yeah, okay, well, cool. Yeah, it was called Container 9 at Riot Fest. It's called Zombie Containment at Navy Pier. And, yeah, it's still that zombie containment feel. It's just, it's got legs now. You know, it's like we've gotten to play with it. We opened up at Navy Pier with it. And now it's got legs. And it's running. And it's great. We're getting huge reviews by, like, national reviewers.
Sweet.
The Tribune put us in the top 5, which is, like, an amazing honor considering this is brand new right out of the gate. So, yeah, we're really, really excited about Zombie Containment at Navy Pier.
That's awesome. Great. So Zombie Containment at Navy Pier is already open, opens in conjunction with Statesville.
Yep, same Thursday time. Through Sunday, all the way from now until November 2nd. We actually an extra daytime show because we do have daytime and nighttime shows there. Daytime is what we call low scare.
Okay.
Lights are on and zombies don't attack. Oh. And that's for the children's.
Yeah. You know, how nice of you, John.
The children's and the adults that don't want to be scared. And then at night, all bets are off. At night, you're ours. Once that's you board awesome. The vessel, you're ours.
So do you recommend, because obviously people are you know, going out of their way to buy tickets and come down here, do you recommend buying tickets online?
Oh, yeah. I always recommend buying tickets online. Here's what people out there, listen, people of America. Listen to me. As a haunted house owner, let me tell you one secret to going to a haunted house. Go on a Thursday. I swear to God it's a good idea. Here at Statesville, we have same thing, 150 actors ready to go. Every room ready to go. It is the same show on a Saturday. The only difference, there's no line. And then we get to put you in small groups. And we get to really have fun with you inside. The actors get to take liberties and really either entertain or scare the Jesus out of you inside these haunted houses. On a Thursday, there's like an actor per audience member at all times.
That's awesome.
It's an amazing thing. And then, of course, Saturday it gets crazy. The lines are huge. We got to move people. Otherwise, you're waiting in line for 4 hours. Nobody wants that. So, people, go Thursday nights. There's coupons for the Fear Haunted House, Statesville Haunted House. Take advantage of cheaper tickets, shorter lines, and honestly, just a better experience.
And the best place to do so online for those that want to go to a website and print out coupons or buy tickets?
Go to is a few things. You can go to thefearhauntedhouse.com. That's for the fear tickets. You can go to statesvillehauntedprison.com for Statesville tickets. But we also got this thing going called twicetheterror.com.
Whoa.
And it's where you could buy multiple tickets for multiple attractions at half price. But it's only going to last for this weekend. It's done.
Sunday. Oh, wow.
So Twice the Terror is a thing we do to try to get people out early when the lines are small. We all in the haunt business, we know. We get it. Long lines suck. We get it. There's nothing we can do. If you all come out on a Saturday, there's nothing we can do except serve you and get you through the haunt.
Right.
But we're trying as hard as we can to get you to come on those slower nights because the shows are just better. You know, it's a smaller group. It's more intimacy.
For sure. For sure. And finally, for the web series, which sounds so interesting, people want to check it out. What goes on behind the scenes of making a haunted house and what goes on throughout the year through the trade shows, all that interesting stuff. Where do they go online to find the web series?
Go to daysoftheLivingDead.com. daysoftheLivingDead.com. We just put out a Riot Fest episode, so you get to see Guar go through our haunted house.
Oh, really?
Talk
sweet.
About a badge of honor there.
Wow.
Like,
that is
one,
so cool.
I was glowing. Not only did Guar come through the haunted house, they went back to the artist village, got more people, and brought them back and
really?
Went through a second time.
Oh,
and then hung out backstage.
That's so cool.
So I got to meet the new female lead singer and the new male lead singer, like the new guy, the new people they're bringing into the band. It was really
awesome.
Neat. It was really cool.
Did anybody other musicians go through that you knew of?
Not people that I knew of per se. I'm not the most up to date.
Yeah, and there's a lot of smaller bands throughout the days.
A lot
that
of smaller
I don't even
bands.
Know. You
yeah.
know, I don't keep up to date.
Yeah,
with
and
it.
I had heard some other bands had gone through, but I didn't personally see them, so I don't know. I mean, it really,
Guar
went
yeah.
through.
Yeah.
I'm done.
That's,
you know,
hang your
and
hat.
I think the guitarist from Slayer came through with Guar.
Really? That's awesome.
That's what the rumor says.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, we were pretty thrilled about that.
And two, I was so excited when I saw that Statesville had a presence at Riot Fest.
Yeah.
It makes sense because it's really, Riot Fest is almost the start of fall season. You know
yeah,
what I mean? It's
yeah.
just starting to feel like summer's over, fall's starting, and it's that in-between. And all of a sudden, there's a haunted house on the grounds.
It's the gateway drug.
And I tell you, I didn't know if it'd work. You know, the Riot Fest people came to us.
Yeah.
And they said, we'd love to have you guys join the team. And we were just like, oh, it's badass. A lot of our friends go to your show, and they all say you're really cool people. So for us, that was it. That's all we needed. Like,
perfect.
They're good people. They're cool people. We wanted to do something with them. You
awesome.
Know, win, lose, or draw. We were willing to check it out.
Oh,
and it really went well. It fit much better than I ever imagined it would. It seemed that everyone was real happy.
Good deal. I hope he's back when we come back to Riot Fest next year, because it's always a treat to see John when we're not expecting to see John.
I know. I was shocked. I didn't know you were going to be there. I was very happy to see you there, man.
Cool. Awesome. So Jawheads in the Chicagoland area. Heck, Jawheads in the Midwest area. Make your way to Statesville Haunted Prison.
Or the Fear at Navy Pier.
Yes. If you're going to be in Chicago and you're not going to be able to get out to the suburbs, I agree. The Fear at Navy Pier zombie containment is going to be awesome. It's on a barge. What more do you need?
Yeah. That's pretty
funny.
Cool.
It's funny
story.
Stuff.
Definitely check it out online, and also check out the web series. Jawhead's John LaFlamboy is going to be hanging out on this entire Jaw. He has his top five favorite scary scenes in the last 5 years. Whew, boy, oh boy, Matt. Jam-packed Jaw, I tell you.
Yep.
It brings us to a segment called Eye for an Eye, Interest or Ignore an Eye for an Eye, is sponsored by
Mobile Monkey.
Tell me more.
This is something John needs. I'm sure you could use it. It's a power bank for your cell phone. It's the smallest, lightest one you can buy.
Huh.
Yeah, and it fits right in your pocket. It's only an inch and a half by an inch and a half by 3.5 inches. Weighs less than a half a pound. And it carries five to six full charges for, you know,
cool.
your devices, right?
Oh, yeah.
So stick this thing in your pocket. And here's a good thing for parents. Like, if you have kids that are going out and they're like, oh, I couldn't text you back because my phone died. Give them this thing before they leave. I know I'm ruining every teenager's Friday night, but then they can't. No more excuses. So stay in touch with everybody that's important to you, and never, you know, have a dead battery. MobileMonkey.com.
Nice.
And we thank them for their sponsorship of Cinema Jaw. Eye for an Eye this week, Matt Fury. April 1945, as the Allies make their final push into the European theater, a battle-hardened army sergeant named War Daddy commands a Sherman tank and her five-man crew on a deadly mission behind enemy lines. Outnumbered, outgunned, and with a rookie soldier thrust into their platoon, War Daddy
thrust.
And his men face overwhelming odds in their heroic attempts to strike at the heart of Nazi Germany. The film stars Brad Pitt and Shia LaBeouf and is directed by David Ayer, who last directed End of Watch and Harsh Times. Matt, interested or ignore on Fury?
I mean, I don't know. Brad Pitt in another war movie like Inglourious Basterds, can he top that? But kind of interested. I'm a sucker for a World War II story.
We throw it over to John. Interest or ignore on Fury?
Is it a true story? I'm sorry, did I miss that?
I don't believe it is. But I did not pull that from the
notes. If it's a true story, definitely interested. I'm a sucker for true stories. But yeah, I'm leaning towards yeah. I like Brad Pitt. He's fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll take the other side of the coin here because I hate Shia LaBeouf, so I'm going to say ignore.
There you go. Doesn't bode well for the movie, I must say, Shia LaBeouf. But you know what? He's surprised us before.
He's done great stuff before.
He has before
the paper bag incident.
He's like a total weirdo now.
Part of me likes them more, though. I gotta say, I think there are enough really pretty people in Hollywood that do everything right and answer every question correctly and do everything a studio tells them to do. I have the same problem with pro athletes. Like, I loved when Richard Sherman lost his shit in the game last year in the playoffs. Like, yeah, I want to see that. And Shia LaBeouf, I do want to see you in a paper bag.
Sure.
You know, why not? You know, why not do that? I don't think it's all that bad, actually.
Nice.
The only thing I got a problem with him is if he ruins a production. If he ruins other people's time on a production, then you should be dragged into the back alley and taught a lesson to.
Like, it's too interested.
A true stage manager. Yeah. puts a bar of soap in a sock. And
you could tell this guy runs a haunted house. Yeah. Two interesteds, one ignore for fury. Matt, speaking of new movies, I got out and caught The Judge.
The infamous Hank Palmer.
The jaded lawyer with no respect for the law.
Hey! Did that just happen?
How does it feel?
Knowing every person you represent is guilty.
It's fine. Innocent people can't afford me.
Is there anything either counsel or care to add?
My mom passed away this morning.
Is this the first time your mother passed away, or is this something you do on all the cases you're about to lose?
First time.
So, Grandpa Palmer's dead too?
No, Grandpa Palmer's dead to me. It's like a figure of speech.
It sounds complicated. I should go with you.
Trust me, nobody wants to go to Carlinville, Indiana.
He built these walls of stone.
God, here we go.
And they crumble back today.
We can barely stand the sight of each other.
Henry.
Judge.
Yeah. Hank, thanks for coming. I'm sure your mother would have appreciated it.
Hank Palmer.
Hank, Sheriff White. It's regarding your father.
Biggest mistake of your career and you just happened to run him over?
Forensics found traces of blood on your dad's car.
I sat on the bench in that courtroom for 42 years.
This was an accident, period.
We need to establish a firm defense.
There's no we here, Henry. I wish I liked you more.
I can't stay.
You're a lawyer. He is your father. You leave now, you will regret it.
You're a shined-up wooden nickel, Mr. Palmer. I'm going to impale your client on a first-degree murder charge, and you get a front-row seat.
My father's a lot of unpleasant things, and murder is not one of them.
I have memories. If us, then I don't. Why?
Was I tough on you? Yes. I did what I thought was right.
My experience, Hank, sometimes you gotta forgive in order to be forgiven.
You and I are finally done.
No, we're not done.
Robert Downey Jr. plays Hank, a hotshot defense attorney. His dad, played by Robert Duvall, who is a judge in a small town in Indiana. In a nutshell, Matt, they do not get along. In fact, they hate each other. When Duvall's wife, Hank's mom, passes away, the family gathers in Indiana. Just when Hank is set to return to Chicago, his dad, the judge, is accused of murder. Now Hank must defend his dad and repair the relationship along the way. Here's an interesting thing. Halfway through The Judge, I was a fan of the film. However, the last third of the movie is cliche, predictable, sappy, and actually two parts corny. I think this is a case of a good idea but poor script. It's a shame, too, because there are some fine performances here, especially from Duvall, who leaves nothing on the table. Downey is solid, but his character is not much different than Tony Stark. I even liked Dax Shepard, I love this guy, as the small-town lawyer who is nervous to go into the courtroom. The comedy element actually worked well. It was the family drama at the end that really dropped the ball. The verdict on The Judge, guilty of poor screenplay, ride the movie guy's grade, two jaws.
Ouch.
Sucks.
I tell you, it had potential.
I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, I wanted to see Downey Jr. do something outside of the 20s. He's done a lot, but yeah. And Duvall, I mean.
Yeah, and Duvall is awesome in it. I mean, as you would expect.
Duvall is awesome in everything.
Yeah, I mean, and it shocks nobody to say that. Duvall was excellent. Downey Jr. was great, but come to expect what he is. He's that cocky lawyer, plays it pretty well.
Yeah, he's Tony Stark.
And not even to mention, I Billy Bob Thornton is the prosecuting attorney.
Oh, no kidding.
And he pops up hilariously. Well played also. All that was great. Characters were great. Script was just weak, unfortunately.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
The other big movie out in theaters, Matt, is Gone Girl. You have not seen this one yet.
I haven't
yet.
Heard of it. Who, oh, what
boy.
Is this?
Boy, oh boy. Gone Girl. David Fincher's latest...
Who?
David Fincher's latest
Lots
thriller
of
based on Gillian Flynn's novel has a very Fatal Attraction vibe to it. It seems to me it's been way too long since we had a film that has everyone guessing what the next twist is going to be.
You're not going to ruin the guessing right now, are
no.
you? Because I'm going to leave
no.
if you are.
And how the film is going to end.
Okay.
Ben Affleck plays Nick, a writer who falls in love with Amy, played by Rosamund Pike. Now, at first, Matt, their marriage is perfect, but when Nick loses his job and his mom gets sick, they have to move back to his hometown in Missouri. On their anniversary, Amy goes missing, and the spotlight turns towards Nick in a hurry. Now, this is when the fun gets started here. Plenty of twists and turns, and plenty of guessing who did what and to whom. There is a lot to like. First off, Rosamund Pike. She's been acting for 10 years on screen, but this is the movie that is going to make her a household name. Her performance is vital to the film's success, and she pulls it off perfectly. Secondly, David Fincher. In lesser hands, the material might have not worked on such a serious level. And finally, the supporting cast, Neil Patrick Harris. Who doesn't love this guy?
Yeah. Oh, man.
And also Tyler Perry. Both were fantastic, one in a humorous way, the other in a very creepy way. I had a ton of fun with this film, and I think most will as well. Ride the Movie Guy's great. A strong 3.5 Jaws for Gone Girl.
Tell me, when you said one was creepy and one was funny, was Neil Patrick Harris the creepy one?
He was.
Oh, yeah, I could see him be creepy. Yeah. He's one of my favorites.
I love him.
Creepy. I just love him.
Have you seen Dr. Horrible sing along?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. He still hasn't seen it.
What is wrong with you?
Hey, what?
What is wrong? Turn
on
your headphones, sir.
I saw The Judge.
It's been on Netflix for like 3 years, okay?
Longer.
Yeah.
But hey, he's such a creep in this movie that I can see him being really creepy.
It was the big FU to the studios during the writer's strike.
Oh, really?
Is what the history of Dr. Horrible's was.
Nice.
It was where they said, you know what? We'll put out our own content. And we'll give it. I think they gave it away for free to a lot,
yeah.
or they sold it for a real cheap price.
No, they released it incrementally online.
Okay,
yeah, it was like a web series.
It was great. It was just great.
Sweet. Very great.
One other thing I did want to mention too. About Gone Girl was David Fincher obviously was making a point about the silliness of how the media sensationalizes these cases. And you got like
you're starting to look like you have Ebola right now. Is that Ebola? Do you have Ebola? Did Ebola get in here? Ebola? Breaking news, America. Ebola might be here. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I don't know. Exactly. You got obviously this character very much like Nancy Grace, who's breaking down the case and pointing fingers at Ben Affleck. And, you know, it's sensationalizing and saying, like, nowadays it's not even the facts that are important. It's public opinion.
Yeah.
And so he's definitely making a point of that. Some people didn't like it because the movie itself become sensationalized at the same time. And I thought that was the whole point. I'm not much of a cable guy. So to me, I was like, yes, he's making a really good point here. But I think people watching are watching all the cable shows and constantly being inundated by it.
Yeah.
They're like, well, whatever. He's just making, you know. They're not getting the point that he's sort of
cable news
statement.
Is awful.
It's the worst.
Pure garbage.
It is the worst. Definitely check out Gone Girl when you get a chance, Matt.
Let's do it. Can't wait.
I shouldn't say neither of these. One of these, Gone Girl, has one of the best scenes, obviously, of the year. I don't want to spoil anything. Not going to say necessarily scary, but just awesome. You guys will both love it when you guys see
this. This is a great segue, Ryan.
It was. And we are covering our top five favorite scary scenes in movies.
Do you stay up at night working on these segues?
I really don't, but it just works this way.
So smooth.
Yeah,
so smooth.
Professional.
I tell you.
With Ebola. You're smooth.
Somebody's got to carry the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Matt, you're getting us started this week. What do you got sitting at number five?
All right. At number five, listen, I'm just going to preface this list by saying I've not seen a lot of the new horror movies. I'm a big fan of the classics. But one that stands out for me in the last 5 years is Cabin in the Woods. And if I had to nail down just one scene that for me was the scariest, and I don't know if it was just like I was scared of it, but more like my testicles receded up because I was so fearful. I knew what was going to happen to this character, and I felt so horrible for him. It was the motorcycle jump straight into this digital
shield.
Yeah, force field that was keeping them in, and I knew he was about to die.
You just stole my number five. All right.
Oh, it's both of our number fives?
yeah, same thing.
Wow. It's perfect, dude. I mean, yeah. So you
John,
agree.
Also, you're number five?
Yeah. My number five, I had a tie for my number five because I thought Cabin in the Woods was just solid. Although I look at it closer to a sci-fi. It's more of a sci-fi horror film than a straight-out horror film.
I agree.
Because it's so damn smart, too.
Very smart.
I just love that movie. Beginning to end, it's one of the few horror movies I've actually been impressed with. And that was, I think, the most depressing thing for me was to when you gave me what the top five were. I looked at, all right, well, what's been made in the last blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't believe going down through the list of horror movies in the last 5 years and how disappointing the genre is right now.
There's been some good ones.
There is a handful of good ones, but it is a handful. And most of them all look the same. You know, we go through 2 years of making the same damn horror movie over and over and over and over and over again.
That seems
eventually little girls are not going to be the scariest thing in America and they'll move on to something else. Or, you know, Paranormal Activity. I mean, how many movies were just like Paranormal Activity after that? So I look at it and it seems like 5 years of copying and rebooting and making the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
But my tie with Cabin in the Woods, it's something that I don't think most people look as a horror movie, but the whole movie had this nasty, horrific feel to it. And the moment the kids got captured and there was the reveal as to what was going on in Red State just made me feel unnerved for the whole movie. Once there was that reveal of what was happening and where this was going, that was my moment where I was just unnerved.
Because, a Kevin Smith film, by the way.
Because those people are real.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
They're there. They're out there. Anyway, I'll move on.
I still got to catch up with Red State.
It's on Netflix, Ryan.
I know. My number five,
Do it when you're watching Dr. Horrible.
2011, this film came out. I just rented it, actually, maybe 6 months ago, so it's fresh in my mind. It is from the movie You're Next. And I hate home invasion elements in horror films, and that's what we have here in You're Next. And for me, the scariest scene in this movie, have you guys seen this one?
No, I haven't.
It is when they, first time they look outside in the backyard, they hear some noise out there and they open up the lights of the backyard and out there are two people wearing masks.
The mask, yeah.
And they're very freaky. It's a fox mask and a lamb mask.
What does the fox say?
And they're just standing right next to each other and you realize like, oh my God, what the hell is going on here? And what I liked about this one, very much like Strangers with Liv Tyler, where it also home invasion scares the hell out of me. They're
also
sort of
great
by themselves.
Masks. Yeah.
Also great masks. But this one, too, they're out in the woods by themselves. But this one has more of a twist on why the people are invading the home.
Okay.
Where the Strangers was just that. It was just strangers invading the home. They really had no tie into the family they were invading. They were more or less doing it for fun, which is demented in its own way.
Yeah.
But Your Next actually has a nice twist to it as well.
I've heard good things about that.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Check that out.
And very creepy the first time you see those masks and the rest of the movie.
I remember the trailer and just being like, whoa. Yeah, I remember that moment you're talking about in the trailer.
Oh, crazy. That was my number five. We're into our fours.
Well, it's not too often a film out of Norway gets your attention, but I think Troll Hunter really caught a lot of people by surprise. And it's kind of in the same style as the found footage, which has become its own genre now, especially in horror. And I really expected this to be a piece of crap throwaway. I really did. But I'd heard like good things. Go see this. Jim Terry actually recommended it. And I will say there's a lot of great footage in this. A lot. But the troll chase at the end when they're in this car and there's a giant troll stomping around the highway and he's swatting at the car. It reminded me of the scene from Jurassic Park where the T-Rex is coming after
him.
It was that intense. I was in that moment. They built up the world to be believable. So I was invested, and I think it's a good movie that maybe flew under a lot of radars.
Yeah, I did not see that one.
You haven't seen Troll Hunter?
I have not either.
But I'm going to.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, it's called Troll Hunter.
And it's shot in found footage documentary style, and they make you believe that trolls are real.
Trolls are real.
Yeah, okay. they put out a completely plausible explanation for it.
Okay. Nice. Filling up my queue here. We swing it over to John. What do you got sitting at number four?
You know, number four, it was very similar to, you know, the feeling I had when I saw the trailer for Your Number Five. You know, when that window, you're like, you had that moment like, ooh, that's scary.
Yeah.
My moment, I saw this trailer, and I can't be the only one. I'm pretty sure this is why a lot of people went and saw the movie. But in World War Z, when the bodies are just piling up on that perimeter wall.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's in Israel. And they're piling up on that wall, and it just gets higher and higher and higher. Like, I remember watching that trailer and my jaw just dropping at
like
that.
It's like ants.
Yeah, like there's nothing you can do. Like, I don't care about how many people have seen how many zombie movies and have all these great ideas on how to defend themselves against the zombie invasion. I saw that and I was like, oh yeah, no, to hell with it. We're all dead. It was a good impact. I wish the movie followed through as powerful as that moment. But I love that moment in the movie, and I enjoyed the movie. I was wanting more.
Yeah, I think so. But I did like the ending of the film, too. It had a very tense scene where, you know, Brad Pitt couldn't make noise around the zombies when he was trying to get, you know, inject himself with... I guess he was actually making himself sick, mm-hmm. right? So that the zombies wouldn't bite him or whatnot.
Yeah.
But during that whole scene, it was very creepy.
Oh,
it
was great tension in that. Yeah, great tension in that one.
Oh,
yeah.
wait. Zombies on a plane, dude.
Oh, that was good, too.
I love World War Z.
Nice. Nice pick at number four. We swing it over to my number four, and this was actually not from a horror film, but from a sci-fi film. Came out in 2012, directed by Ridley Scott.
The Chestburster Man, right?
Prometheus. Oh, no, Prometheus.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Are you talking about the dildo snake?
And it is probably the best and most horrifying scene in the entire film. Shaw is the name of the character. Noomi Rapace gets into an automated surgery capsule because she believes she's pregnant with the alien, and it cuts her open. This entire scene is so, A, it's tense. Two, I'm scared. It's just disgusting in a way that this alien is in her body, and it cuts it open, and this like squid-like creature comes out and then is in the capsule with her.
With her, yeah.
It was insane. Like, that whole scene is a reason that the movie should be seen. I loved it. I remember thinking, wow. You might not like anything else in the movie, but that one scene was spectacular.
I have to agree with him. I mean,
you're
rest
nodding
of the,
your head like you did not like that movie.
I didn't like the movie. I thought it was a pretentious pile of garbage that was playing on all of our love for the Alien franchise. And that's the only reason I went to see it, but that scene was top-notch. Awesome. I mean, awesome.
I saw the movie. I actually liked the movie.
Yeah.
And that scene was just, you're squirming in your chair, you know, and that's when you know it's doing a good job, when it's got you squirming in your chair.
Yeah, there's some other good moments, but overall, I think the movie was pretty flawed, but that scene, awesome.
Yeah, and scary, right?
Yeah, in the worst possible way.
I agree. That was my number four. We're into our threes, Matt. What do you got sitting there, buddy?
All right, at number three, you know what? This is not necessarily a straight horror movie. It's a horror comedy movie, John. But I really liked it. There's some scary moments, but for the most part, it's played for laughs. But I have to mention Tucker and Dale.
It's really
this list is more about my favorite horror movies in the last 5 years.
I had Tucker and Dale all over my list too. Like, how can I mention Tucker and Dale? It's just one of the greatest.
I mean, the best scene in the movie is the whole they're pulling out half of a body. It's just the legs, and the cop comes up. And they had just finished talking about how they were going to possibly explain this. And they're like, well, we have had a doozy of a day. These kids just came on my property and started killing themselves. And, you know, and it's true. I mean, when the kid jumps into the wood chipper.
The best part.
Yeah.
Best part of the movie.
That's the best part.
It's so great.
It's so shocking and gory.
Just dove into a wood chipper.
I love this movie. I love that scene. So.
Oh, man.
Tucker and Dale.
It's even better, Jawheads, to see John laughing in full costume like this. It's so funny.
Yeah.
He's all made up to look all scary, and here he is having a sweet old time.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's the kind of movies I like making. It's, just love that movie to death. Oh,
awesome.
So glad you mentioned it.
Awesome. Nice pick. What do you got sitting there at number three, John?
You know, number three, I'm going to go off the rails here. I'm going to go outside of movie, because it's rare that a scene in a television show can get me.
Oh boy.
And last night I got kids. I got. American Horror Story did their premiere last night. Did you guys see it at all?
I heard about it.
Okay. There's a scene in the back of this RV with these kids in cages and this clown. And I mean, coming from someone, you know, myself, I design scary clowns all the damn time.
Sure.
And I always try to be the one that has the scariest clown. I was blown out of the water by what I saw last night. I could not believe how terrifying this clown was. The actor, the makeup, the mask, the whole damn thing, the movement, all of it. And there's a scene where he just is attacking the cage. He's not hurting anybody, not harming anyone. But the psychological trauma that he's inflicting on not just the kids in that poor cage, but the viewers at home, where I was audibly going, oh, God, Jesus, no, God, no, clown bad. I was, yeah, like scooching up on my couch.
That's
good. It got me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, it truly gave me a sense of dread and horror. It was really well done.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm putting a TV show on the list, kids.
Hey.
Because American Horror Story is some creative stuff.
I love it. I've always seen the first two seasons. Mm-hmm. I'm always like a Netflix, so I'm way behind.
Sure, sure.
So I still got to see Coven, the third one.
Yeah.
But I love the first two already. I'm hooked. So
yeah, no, awesome. It's, wow, this clown scene. Yeah, it's a circus theme this year.
So,
wow.
So clowns scarier than dolls?
Oh, do I think clowns are scarier than dolls?
Yes.
No, not as a general, not as a general rule. I don't have the rule where one is scarier than the other, but if I had to pick which one I want to face in a battle for my life, yeah, bring on the freaking dolls.
Oh,
I don't care about dolls. Especially after seeing the clown last night. Yeah, wow. No, you ain't got enough dolls.
Yeah, you asked him at the right time, man.
Yeah.
Well,
well played, man. Yeah. Well played.
I learned it from watching you ride the Segway guy.
Wait until he sees Chucky 16. All right.
yeah, no.
My number three comes from a 2012 film starring Ethan Hawke. The film is Sinister. And here, he plays like a true crime writer.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He goes and he stays at a house where this horrific crime had taken place. And the scene that I think is probably the absolute worst. I actually have two out of this movie that I listed the creepiest.
This is one I want to see.
Oh, it's such a good film. The creepiest is the first time we see it. He goes up to the attic and finds all these snuff films that the killer left behind of killing the family in that house.
Oh,
and
geez.
It's five family members being hung on a tree, and a tree branch is getting like cut by the killer, and that tree branch getting cut lifts them up. It's so creepy. It's so sick. That part creeps me out. But the scariest, that sort of shock value where you jump, is he hears stuff in his attic at one point, and Ethan Hawke goes up to examine things. And at this point, you're totally invested, you know, in the scene. And as he's going through a bunch of stuff, and then he turns to walk away, and he actually falls through the ceiling of the attic. It's like just a weak thing. It's nothing like a ghost jumped on him.
It just got you.
It just got you.
Yeah.
And he cuts his leg on his way down through like the wood boards. It's so freaky. It just makes you jump as soon as you see it. But I have nothing but good things to say about Sinister.
Sometimes those classic jump scares, I mean, a lot of people like poo-poo them as being too easy or something. Mm. Sometimes those are the best.
Yeah. They are so good because all the stuff that was going on, the snuff films, who's doing it, who's doing that.
They set the tone.
They set the tone.
Right.
And then all he's doing is walking in the attic and he falls through the ceiling. It's scary as absolute hell when he falls through the ceiling. So
nice.
Sometimes
totally
it's just
sets it up.
What you're not expecting.
I'll put it on my list.
That is my number three, Sinister. Matt, we're into our twos.
All right. Here's a film that should not be on your list, John, or anyone else's for that matter. It's something that I wish I could unsee, and unfortunately I will have to live the rest of my life having seen this movie, and I don't want to even talk about it, but I'm just going to say Martyrs.
Don't know it.
Good.
Okay.
I won't watch it.
It's
Yeah. Wow, look at your face.
It's scary, okay? I love haunted houses, and I walk through with a big smile every time.
Sure.
This movie screwed me up.
Okay.
Yeah. So ask some of your guys. It's number one or number two on the most disturbing films of all time.
All right.
Wow.
And it's just shockingly brutal horror, but not like just like torture porn. It's actually like really psychologically damaging.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It'll take a little piece of your soul away.
Heavy duty.
Whatever.
I don't like it.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
But I had to mention it's probably the most terrifying thing I've ever seen.
What do you got sitting at number two, John?
At number two, I've got an indie movie here. The movie is called Nailbiter. And for those of you who have not seen it, see it. Trust me on this one. The director, Patrick Ray, I believe is his name. I literally saw this at a film festival. Met the filmmaker. That's all I really know about the movie. But I remember sitting there in the theater, and this thing for an indie film had all the polish and beauty of a high dollar production film.
Yeah.
The storyline was beautiful. Monsters I've never seen in any other movie ever.
Uh-huh.
So a whole new concept for the monsters, and the actual script was smart. It was incredibly good with its levels of suspense. It's also jump scares. And it's psychological tomfoolery. I say tomfoolery because I don't want to swear too much on this show. But, yeah, it messed me up. There is a point in the basement, and I will not say what happens because that could be a spoiler.
Sure.
But there is a scare, and someone dies. Of course, it's a horror movie. And when this happens, you do not see it coming. You do not expect that they will do this. And it got me. It got. Oh, yeah. I was literally back on the back of the seat, like plastered back, feet total, like legs straight erect, pushing on the seat in front of me for the rest of the movie. And even the end of the movie was just brilliant. How it leaves it open for a sequel. And, yeah, Patrick Ray, watch out, kids. He's coming.
Yeah.
This guy
and the name of the movie again?
Is Nailbiter.
I gotta check it out.
Nailbiter.
If you title your film Nailbiter, you better deliver.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's and also, I mean, it's a pun.
Sure.
The actual creatures, yeah, you'll see why. But, oh my God. I mean, they're new creatures. Wow. It's something different. And it's just, yeah, it got me. The whole movie, just a perfect horror movie, front to back. In what I think is 5 years of kind of in the horror world, here's a guy taking this around film festivals, and it's the best one I've seen.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah,
highly recommend it.
I'm going to go back through this episode later at home
and
my notebook.
Yeah, and you know what's too? I realized listening to John's enthusiasm about it, one day we got to sit down and watch a horror film with John sometime in the theater.
Wouldn't it be
a blast?
I'm a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I hoot, I holler, I make noises, I jump like around.
Swings it over to my number two, and my number two, I have a master, Sam Raimi. You ever hear of this asshole?
No, who's he?
Yeah. This film came out in 2009, sort of went back to his roots, and I think it's sort of a modern masterpiece as far as horror goes. And I think you skipped on this one, Matt. It is called Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, yeah. I totally missed that one.
I got to watch Drag Me.
You've seen this one?
It's a great movie, yeah.
Great movie.
It would have easily made my top five.
And in here, Christine, the main character, is being tormented by this old lady, who's a spirit.
Yeah.
And they curse her button.
The gypsy spirit.
Yeah, the gypsy spirit. And they grab her button, and at that point, she's going to be cursed, and she's got 3 days, and eventually that spirit's going to drag her to hell. And she's being basically tormented throughout the movie in multiple scenes by the spirit. You can pick a ton of them that you can say are scariest. For my money, though, she is dreaming of the lady, comes through the window, and she sort of wakes up. She thinks she's from the dream, but it's sort of that double dream.
Yeah.
And then she sort of wakes up in the bed, and she turns around to see her husband, who's played by Justin Long, and it's the lady in the bed, but it's still a dream. But it wakes up, and it's her, and then they start wrestling on the bed, and it's scary as hell, because old ladies can be very scary in movies, especially when they look like this.
When they're strong.
Yeah. And she pins this girl down, the old lady does, and throws up on her face.
She pukes.
But what she throws up is almost like maggots. It's so disgusting and horrific. And
and you're right. It was old school Sam Raimi.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was like, oh, my God, this is so scary and just awful. I'm sick and scared at the same time. I pooped my pants, and I wanted to hide under the covers.
That's awesome. I mean,
I loved it, man.
That's the mark of a great horror film.
Yeah,
I pooped my pants.
Yeah, and Drag Me to Hell overall, because I'm not a huge horror fan. This one, for me, Four Jaws, I loved it.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So, yeah. Definitely check it out, Jawheads. We're into our ones. We haven't crossed over other than the first one that you guys had.
I might get some flack for this one. I'm not saying I like it better than Tucker and Dale, and I'm not saying it's scarier or more disturbing than Martyrs, which is the most messed up film of all time, but I really think it was a very important movie, and a lot of people have aped it since. It definitely set a tone for the past half decade, Paranormal Activity.
Yep.
I think you have to give it props. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
It pretty much busted open a genre. I mean, maybe that's a pedestrian pick. I don't care. But that scene, and it's been aped so many times. The first time you saw that security camera footage with the night vision in the bedroom, when that ghost grabs her, drags her down the hallway. The first time I saw that, I was like, oh, shit. You know, I had to step back. It's scary. Now I've seen it so many times, I'd be desensitized. But it's worthy of a number one, I think, of the last 5 years.
I think you're right. I mean, I think it not just was a solid movie when it came out, incredible marketing plan, but it influenced other people to make their movies like that.
Right.
And, you know, if that's not the sign of greatness, then what is?
Shot on a shoestring. Like $5,000 or something. Ridiculously. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too, is it's so appealing for filmmakers to make it on the cheap. Is you can still make a scare, and it can be, it's supposed to look cheap. And that's part of the scare of it is oh, it's just you know, found footage, well, or it's just
money doesn't make a great film.
Right, right.
Creativity
exactly.
does.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. Good pick at number one. John, what do you got sitting there?
Mine, and this goes down to, it was one of the most fun times I've had in a movie theater in a long time. I went and saw Mama. And I was sitting there, and there must have been this, it must have been a lunch break or a dinner break or something. But in front of me was a row of nurses. They all had went to the movie together. And it was the greatest way to watch this movie. Because it was like whack-a-mole in front of me. Their heads were just coming up and down and up and down and bum, bum. The movie was, it literally had these girls bouncing in their seats and freaking out and crawling down underneath their seats the whole movie, which to me was great. But the first reveal of Mama, the true reveal, it got me. I mean, I had an audible, in the theater. And when I have an audible yell, I'm so desensitized to things. I thought... They were very clever and very tricky with the editing and the directing of that film, and I thought they had some really great scares off of a very simple monster.
Right.
You know, very simple. I like that movie. Front to back, I was a big fan of Mama.
I was too. Jessica Chastain was played the... what is she? Like the new wife taking over for the kids. And she had like the short hair, punk hair, and I thought, it's not going to play that well. I thought it played really well. Absolutely. I saw it at home, and I was scared for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So awesome. That was mine. It was great. Because, I mean, that first moment they did the reveal, you thought, okay, that's it. Wow, they blew their wad early. And then they just did that kind of reveal differently throughout the movie and just got the audience every single time. People were jumping and screaming.
Awesome.
And they just found different ways to do that reveal. And I just thought it was really well done.
Brings us to my number one.
I got to rewatch Mama.
Before I get to my number one, it's become apparently clear that neither John or Matt has seen my number one, or it would have at least been mentioned on your top five. I'm speaking of just last year, 2013's The Conjuring.
Oh, yeah, no.
Haven't seen it.
I knew you guys hadn't seen it because it would come up on your list. It's that damn scary. And I tell you what, James Wan, who did the first Saw, directed this film. And for my money, there's... tons of, I think the entire movie, it's set in the 70s.
It's the Warrens,
the Warrens. The whole entire film reeks of just, you know, I don't know, uneasiness. You're scared the whole time. But for my money, the last scene, I would say the last like 20 minutes, which is the exorcism of the mom, the wife of the in the movie, is probably, and when you're doing exorcisms, it's been done before, so you got to almost... overdo it or you don't know how it's going to play out. Oh, it's just a copycat. But for my money, it's just horrifying. And at one point, they put a bed sheet over her face, and she coughs up blood. And I don't know why that particular image stands out in my mind where I mentioned I almost puked watching
it
the movie. Soaks into it because they put it over and she just starts coughing and like all of a sudden pukes up blood and you just don't see it. You just see it all of a sudden it starts soaking blood into it and she starts ripping through the sheet and it's like, oh, God, this is so disgusting. And at one point even, too, they try to drag her out of the house and as she's coming out of the house, her whole body starts to bruise because the devil doesn't want to let go of her body and they realize... if you take it out, it's going to kill her. We got to do the exorcism in the house. Oh, whew. I tell you what, I saw it once, and I don't know if I could go back and watch it. I teetered with buying it, and I'm like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to watch this by myself.
It's like Requiem for a Dream. I watched it once.
Yeah, once is all you need.
Yeah.
And Jesus' Son. I watched them both in a double feature.
Really?
Talk about horrifying. Yeah.
This guy's insane.
Oh, I had no idea what I was getting into.
This explains a lot.
That must have been a fun night.
Yeah, I cried in a corner for the rest of the night.
Awesome. Awesome. Jawheads, if we missed your scariest scene of the last 5 years and you have Twitter pulled up, shoot us a tweet at CinemaJaw. We'll retweet it and get the discussion going. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, John is going to judge a cinema war and take Matt on in trivia. We'll be right back on CinemaJaw.
This episode of CinemaJaw is brought to you by Prodigy Hardwood Interiors. Handcrafted hardwood flooring, cabinetry, stairs, doors, trim, made to order. Guaranteed quality, legendary custom services, great prices, and friendly customer service from a family-owned business. Trust Prodigy Hardwood Interiors to enhance the functionality, appeal, and value of your home. And join in their growing family of delighted customers and friends gathered from more than 20 years of service. They look forward to hearing from you, and we thank them for their support of CinemaJaw. Go to www.prodigyhardwoodinteriors for more. Hey, Jawheads, this is Matt Kay. I want to encourage you all this October, if you're in the Chicagoland area or even the Midwest, make the trip out to Statesville Haunted Prison or Zombie Containment at Navy Pier. If you're going to Statesville, and I highly recommend it, it's open Thursday through Sunday, straight through the end of October. It's located at 17250 South Weber Road in Lockport. It's $30 to get in and $45 for VIP passes. You can go to StatesvilleHauntedPrison.com for more information.
And we are back on Cinema Jaw, hanging out at Statesville Haunted Prison with John LaFlamboy. John, we just went through the haunted house. And again, you guys outdo yourself every single year.
Two haunted houses.
Oh, cool, man. Thanks. It's good to hear. Good to hear you had a good time.
Now, me and Matt traded off who went first, sort of, you know, because a lot of the scares happen to the first person in line, right?
Ryan's a bit of a wimp.
I'm a bit of a wimp. So Matt was in front of me most of the time, 80%. But I did go about 20% of the time.
You did.
Which of the two, because you actually go through two haunted houses here at Statesville, what was your favorite, Matt?
I mean, there's elements of both that I really enjoy quite a bit. You know, I think this is in the first one, Statesville, with the dentist scene, or the doctor.
Oh, the clown doctor? Yeah. Where he's cutting smiles into people's faces.
And I might have even mentioned this last time, but I really love this. It's almost like off in the corner, blink and you miss it, but there's this torso that comes down, and it's really gory and realistic, and it scared me the first time I saw it. Like it gave me like a startle.
Nice,
but I just admire how realistic and gory it is, and it's really graphic.
Oh, cool! Thanks.
And I think that I like that quite a bit.
And also in that first haunted house, I love how you get on the bus at one point, and there's that demented bus driver, and there's people hanging from the bus.
Yep.
And it's just creepy. It's just flat out creepy. I don't want to be on that bus at all. It's just,
you know, it's great. We've had that bus for 10 years, but I really needed to change how you got on the bus for people to know there was a bus.
Yeah.
It was amazing how many people came through and had no idea we had a bus.
I think I've gone through it in the past. I told Matt this time, I said, wow, I love the bus idea. And he goes, we've been on it before. I'm like, well, it's new to me. The way you get on, I think it's the way you get on.
Yeah. We used to have people come on the back of the bus and exit the front. And, you know, I went into that whole, you know, sense memory thing, and people remember bus doors opening and taking those steps up and looking at a driver.
Right.
I figured that's what we're missing. So I kind of keyed onto that sense memory of when you got on a school bus as a kid, and I wanted to make it very similar to that. The steps, the going up, the door moving, the pig-headed driver, I don't know.
I love it.
Maybe you're at school where I went to school.
I absolutely love it. But I do have to say, out of the two haunted houses, I'm such a fan of the second one. I think the whole design of the like, you're down in these like caves and all the bodies have been dropped there. I love everything about it. It's
the
just story creepy.
Is literally a little deeper, you know? it adds more to Statesville having that second scare. I like it.
Yeah, it's a big thing here for us when we're designing. Lots of people do multiple attractions. And a lot of times they really have one attraction and then a couple little small things. What we wanted to give the customers were two actual full-size haunted houses with two completely separate themes. And although they are connected and they're married, City of the Dead is where all the bodies are dumped from Statesville. So there is a connection.
Yeah, there's a story to it.
But visually, it is a completely different place.
Right.
And we always looked at City of the Dead as, let's make it beautiful and then make pretty scare the hell out of people. Where Statesville's kind of rougher and meaner and dirtier, City of the Dead is a very pretty haunted house that also has all the scares that Statesville has.
And I love right when you're about to enter, as we did this time, they line you up. And right before you're going to go in, they make a point to, they say, look up. These are a couple of my friends. And they're live snakes.
Yeah.
They're in a case. And that's fine that they're in the case. It's just the element that there's snakes right above you.
Yeah.
That scares the hell out of you.
I always add to that when I'm in there with customers. I go, when they're like, that's amazing. Those are real snakes. I go, oh, yeah. They're great to work with. Do me a favor, though. When you see one on the ground, just please step over it. High steps, high steps.
Awesome.
Never put snakes on the ground.
No, for sure, right?
That'd be rude.
And actually, I think it's right after that room. Is that the room where the lights, some type of effect make it look like there's all those bugs on the wall?
Yeah.
We've got
projections of the bugs all over the walls.
It looks so real. Especially, I think, because you've just seen real snakes.
Right.
And your mindset is like, oh, my God. And then the first thing you walk into, and you think these bugs are all around you.
Yeah.
But it's just projected on the wall.
It's a horrible moment to cope with when you're standing in one of the first rooms. You're like, oh, my God. These assholes put real snakes and bugs in here. That's a horrible realization to have to make. We're like, oh, no, it ain't all fake. It's those are real flying cockroaches.
Right. You know, and I got to tell you that there's a genuine psychological element to that, because I consider myself somewhat hardened, battle hardened. I've been through a lot of haunted houses. I used to work at one, so I kind of know the tricks, right? But the fact that you do include some real things, like the real snakes, and there were real cockroaches. There was one actor, it was an actress, when we were in one of the spinning tunnels in City of the Dead.
The spiders, yeah.
Yeah, she was like, "Do you like spiders?" And at first I'm like, "Yeah." And then I was like, "No.
No, no, not here, I don't."
Because I thought she might pull out a real spider, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, "No, on second thought, I don't."
Yeah,
you know?
That's the thing. You bring out some real ones, it makes all your fake ones seem so much more menacing.
It ups the ante.
Yeah, it really does.
Awesome, awesome.
So glad you guys liked it.
Such a blast. Thanks again for having us out here. Jawheads, again, in the Midwest, Chicagoland area, get out to Statesville Haunted Prison, and also to the Fear at the Pier, the
Zombie Containment.
I love it. It's a barge with a haunted house on it, docked right at Navy Pier. You can't
maybe the first of its kind.
And film fans out there, if you ever saw the movie Fido, which is one of my all-time favorites, it's got a little bit of Fido in it. It's got a little bit of Fido in that movie.
I love that. And
I'm sorry, in that haunted house.
If you are across the country, or we even get emails and we've gotten texts from overseas, if you can't join us over here at Statesville, but you want to check out the web series, the best place to do so is?
Yeah, daysofthelivingdead.com. Check it out. You'll see us putting up a Riot Fest haunted house, trying to get a haunted house on a barge, dealing with deadlines, live animals, all sorts of problems.
I can't wait to catch up on
it. Awesome. Definitely do it, Jawheads. Matt, it brings us to a segment called
Cinema War.
And Cinema War works like this, Jawheads. This is where me and Matt bet on a topic each week. And our guest this week, John LaFlamboy, gets to play judge and jury and ghost and goblin and tell the Jawheads at home who he thinks won this Cinema War. It's important because we're battling for 20 seconds of precious jaw time to rant and rave on whatever we want. Matt, it's unbelievable, but they have announced plans to make a female Ghostbusters movie. It's absolutely ridiculous. The Cinema War topic today is the idea of making this female Ghostbusters movie a good idea, or are they just beating a dead horse? Matt, you're saying it's a good idea. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Let the Cinema War begin.
All right, Rye, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. That's who. Doesn't matter to me if they are men or women.
Bring it.
Just get rid of my pesky ghost problem. That's all I'm asking out of the Ghostbusters. I mean, what's the matter? You got a problem with women?
I do, Matt. You know why?
Oh, my God.
Because women...
Here come the hate mail letters.
Because women can't cross streams. So just forget the whole idea. Let me tell you. What is the hang-up?
Well crafted.
What is the hang up with Ghostbusters, Matt? It was a great film that came out at the right time. Leave it be and move on.
You know, I admit the second one was a disaster. And after the untimely and sad passing of Egon, Harold Ramis, we were left with the reality that we wanted more Ghostbusters. It would have to be with a new cast. That's the rub, okay? But I'm completely on board for this. You can, and I'll cast it for you right now. It doesn't matter to me if they're men or women. Kristen Wiig as the Peter character, Melissa McCarthy as the Ray character, and Amy Adams as the Egon character. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Forget it, Matt. We need to stop this before it even begins, because if not, you can see where this is going, all right? 2016, Kid Ghostbusters starring Jaden Smith. All right, and even better, in 2017, in 2017, Tyler Perry presents Black Ghostbusters, starring Ryan Reynolds as Winston, the token white Ghostbuster. We need to stop this immediately.
Sexist and racist. Well done, Ryan.
I got one more up my sleeve.
Oh, wow.
Twofer, okay.
You know, here's the thing. I admit, it is a little gimmicky, all right? But this thing is going to happen. A dead horse or not, it's going to happen. So we might as well tuck in and hope for the best. And that might be a bad argument, but here's the thing. Even if it sucks, it's still the Ghostbusters.
Matt, did we not learn anything from Ghostbusters 2? I have recently seen it, and it was horrible. Don't even kid yourself. It was terrible. This new female version will not be a movie we will be talking about some 30 years later like the original. It'll be good for a weekend or two, make a ton of money, and then it'll be forgotten.
Why? See, that's the thing. I think this could be just as good. They've learned. I mean, look at the latest Muppet movie. They've learned to treat nostalgic properties with respect. So I loved the Ghostbusters when I was growing up. I had the bed sheets, the posters, toothbrushes, watched the cartoon every day. Loved the Ghostbusters. I can't wait for them to be back. And there are a million fans just like me. This is going to be a fun horror comedy. So I say, why not?
I'll say, why not? Because some movies, Matt, work because they came out at the right time with the right cast. And Ghostbusters was special because of both factors. An updated version will lose the cool factor and go strictly for nostalgic laughs. In my mind, without Aykroyd, Murray, and Ramis, it's not a Ghostbusters movie. Leave this one alone, Hollywood. Buttonheads. Buttonheads.
This is a tough one.
Wow.
I honestly don't think I put my best argument.
Hey, we got an expert here. We throw it to John LaFlamboy. What did you think of this Cinema War?
Well, Matt, I'd like to jump right on it. No, you did not put your best argument out. You didn't. You just said make it because we can. And I disagree with that. I disagree with making a movie just because we can and because we liked it. If anybody remakes The Goonies, I will find them and I will kill them.
What about Goonies 2, though?
Now that's an iffy thing. It depends on a lot. And that's what I'm going to go into here. It's because your argument of make it just because we can and we loved it and why not, to me, does not hold water.
Uh-huh.
Your argument of hating all things on the planet and that's why not to do it is the worst argument ever.
Yeah.
Why have women Ghostbusters? I don't know. What does the script say? And that's the big thing. The only reason to make this movie is if we have a good story. If it's a solid script. And if it's a solid script with four funny women, hell yeah, I am on board with female Ghostbusters. As long as it's not them trying to make a movie just because it's testing well in these demographics. I don't want four female Ghostbusters just because a demographic poll said so. And I don't want a Ghostbuster movie just because someone says the 80s are trending high right now. We should try to squeeze that decade for all we got.
And that is happening. Right?
And of course that is happening. But I will say this, and this is why I'm on Matt's side.
Oh, Jesus. Even after that.
I could have phoned that one in.
Even after that. Wow. Yeah. Even with your shit argument.
It was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. I'm still on your side because, first of all, we got to lock people up in internment camps next? I mean, come on over here.
How are you going to get on
Good
that side?
God.
Wow, tough crowd.
I think the cast is amazing. I heard Scarlett Johansson is going to be in it, too.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like, I love the idea of this cast. I love that Bill Murray put out an article 2 months ago of who he would pick to be the Ghostbusters, and it looks like we're lining up with that. So clearly there's some sort of connection here. But this is what I'm hoping for, you know, and of course Hollywood does not always deliver on my hopes and dreams. But I am hoping that this movie is a really good script, because there's a reason we haven't seen Ghostbusters 3 for a very long time. They have tried to make it. Many, many scripts have gone through the pipe.
Glad we haven't seen it.
And I love that they kept knocking them out, saying no, 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 no. So I'm hoping this one made it through, because it's a hell of a script, and it was a fun, great idea that we did all love from our childhood. And absolutely, we're going to go to the movies just because of that. But I hope they deliver a solid script.
Oh, I do too.
It looks like they've got a solid cast. So I love the idea of female Ghostbusters. Why not?
So Matt wins this one, even though he phoned it in.
Yeah, because your argument was full of hate speech.
Oh, man.
All right.
Gotta love John. That earns you 20 seconds, Matt, of precious John time.
Yeah, you know, I had this one. All right, so you know what I'm going to do? Our engineer, Elias Rodriguez, is out of the job box, so I'm going to use my 20 seconds to thank Elias in general and tell him that I am coming for you, Elias. I'm going to find you, and I'm going to put you back in that job box where you belong, producing Cinema Jaw, and I'm putting an extra chain on it.
Damn.
Wow.
Damn. Scorpions.
Talk about demented.
In the jaw box.
Let's get John LaFlamboy. Maybe some of you can you borrow some of these right outside this door.
You know what they
recording.
Say? You know
there,
what they
there is 100 ghouls and monsters. They're eating hot dogs, I noticed.
Oh, yeah.
My
mom made them hot dogs.
Yeah, this is great.
My mom's out there.
Maybe we could borrow a couple of them to go get Elias.
There you go.
Scare the shit out of them.
I'm going to use the little scorpions. They say the little ones are more dangerous.
They are the most dangerous.
I love it.
They're harder to find.
Oh, boy.
Climbing
oh, boy.
Years.
Can't believe I lost that. All right. It brings us to
really?
Trivia.
Come on.
Really?
Well, I made a good argument. I thought it's sort of a fun one. I thought we had something going when women can't cross streams. I mean, boy, oh, boy.
That's a good one.
That was funny. Good yeah. That was funny.
Yeah, all right. In honor of the movie Fury, starring Brad Pitt and Shia LaBeouf. We are playing Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf movie trivia. It works like this. John, you're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals, and if you got hung up on one, you get one rescue. Rescue me, Ryan. I have clues to all the questions.
Oh, nice.
So if you want to go first. You want to go? All right. Okay. Matt, question number one over to you.
Here we go.
Matt, Shia LaBeouf starred in one movie with Michael Douglas. It was a sequel. Name it.
Really? Right out of the gate. This is supposed to be the easy question.
This was the easy one, I thought.
Michael Douglas, Fatal Attraction 2.
Absolutely not. Incorrect. You got a chance for a steal here, John.
It's just a guess. It's just a guess. Wall Street 2?
Wow.
It was like, Michael Douglas. What the hell has he done in 10 years?
Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps.
Did they not make a Fatal Attraction sequel?
I don't believe they did.
I don't think so.
It's coming right after Ghostbusters 3.
It is 1-0, John.
It's going to be a man, though.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Question two is over to John LaFlamboy. In Meet Joe Black, Brad Pitt played Joe Black, who comes after William Parrish, played by what actor?
Oh, hell. Yeah. No, sorry.
Any guess? Plays Joe Black coming after what actor?
Can I go the clue? Can
you
I
want
go
a clue?
Clue? Yeah.
Yeah. Rescue Me, Ryan. Question number two. Yeah. The clue to that question is he likes a nice Chianti.
Oh, Anthony Hopkins.
Good clue. Nice clue.
Well done. Yes. Well done. It is 2-0, John. I like taking a commanding lead early.
Yeah, I got to.
That's the only clue you get, though. 2-0, John. Question three over to you, Matt.
All right.
In 2007, Shia played a teenager under house arrest who spies on his neighbor in this loose take on Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window. Name the movie.
It was a play on the word suburbia. It was... Hang on. It was...
Oh, boy. This is why our listeners are writing in thinking Matt blows it. He has a couple too many beers, goes through a haunted house. He can't think like shit.
Yeah. It's all the flashing lights in my eyes. I'm going to kill myself. I know you know this.
You do have a rescue if you need it on question three.
No. It was...
5 seconds. 2 seconds.
Suburbia. I can't think of it. God damn it. I don't want to use my... I should have just used it because he knows it.
Yeah, so close. Yeah. He stirred you on the right traction here, John.
No, I
know
it is a play on suburbia.
Could take a commanding 3-0 lead here.
It's not easy to think when you're under the gun.
Yeah, I don't have it.
No?
No, I can see it. I can kind of see the poster, and I can't think of it. What is it?
Very disturbing that neither of you guys got this
shit.
One.
Disturbia.
Oh, shit.
It was Disturbia. It's still 2-0, John.
Actually, a great movie.
Great movie. Yeah, I really liked it.
I did too.
It was really good. All right, question number four is over to John. He is winning 2-0. John, in the movie Tree of Life, which actress played Brad Pitt's wife?
Oh, my God.
Wow. Did you see Tree of Life?
Yeah. Oh. It's not Penelope Cruz. It's Annabella Rossellini.
Matt, you got a chance for a steal here.
I have no idea. How about Amy Adams?
At least you had red hair, and it was correct. It was actually Jessica Chastain.
Okay.
Yes, Jessica Chastain.
Okay.
Still 2-0, John. He's still got a commanding lead here. Whew. Question five is over to Matt. Matt, in 2010's Megamind, Brad Pitt voiced Metro Man, the superhero nemesis of Megamind, who was voiced by what actor?
The guy from Kids in the Hall. Take me to the Rescue Me, Ryan.
Rescue Me, Ryan. Question number five. Your clue is, this clue is stranger than fiction.
Will Ferrell. Not the Kids in the Hall guy.
No. Wow. Good thing you took a clue on that one.
Yeah. He's thinking of a completely different person.
2-1 2-1 John's still in the lead, and question number six is over to him. Shia LaBeouf shows up in the 2006 film A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints. You ever see this one?
No.
Oh, boy. He plays the young version of a character named Ditto, who was played by what actor as an adult? Wow.
Wow. Anthony Hopkins.
I love the guess, though. Matt, you got a guess on this? I'm sure you haven't seen this movie either.
Keanu Reeves. Whoa. I was wrong?
We were looking for Robert Downey Jr. Can you see that one
really?
At all? Yeah.
No.
Those have played the same.
I mean, they have the same kind of hair.
Colored
and stuff.
Hair.
Yeah.
It's straight and dark.
Wow. Still 2-1 Still 2-1 Question number seven over to Matt. Matt, what was the full title of the last Transformers movie that Shia LaBeouf starred in?
Transformers Dark of the Moon.
2-2
I miss all these good movie questions, and then a shit movie question comes. Wow. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Here's the best part, John. It's the last question of the game. You can win it on a walk-off.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow. All right. And he could win it on a steal, can't he?
Question eight. Oh. What is the best haunted house in the state of Illinois? I love it. All right, here it is. Question number eight. Over to John. Serious now. Brad Pitt starred in the 2006 Oscar-nominated film Babel, in which his wife is shot by a stray bullet in Morocco. Which actress plays his wife in the film?
Angelina Jolie.
He gets two Brad Pitt wife questions.
Wow.
In one trivia. Wow. Okay. Who played his wife?
Yeah, in Babel.
In Babel. And it wasn't Angelina Jolie.
No. Any guess? You guys have both used your rescues.
So are we tied at this moment?
We're tied. So you can just take a guess.
Yeah.
It could come down to a jawbreaker.
Well, you know, his wife was Julia Roberts in The Mexican. Underrated movie, I think. Wasn't as horrible as people say. So it wasn't her. Was it Amy Adams? No.
Incorrect.
It's going to be right one of these days.
We are looking for Kate Blanchett. Kate Blanchett. It is tied 2-2 It comes down to a jawbreaker. We throw this question over to you, John, for the win. Who wins in a street fight, Shia LaBeouf or Brad Pitt's wife, Angelina Jolie?
Oh, Angelina Jolie. Come on. Hands down. Have you seen her moves? Meet the, what is
that,
it, the Smiths?
That's
come
a
on.
Win.
Jesus. And he's wearing a paper bag over his head, so ain't gonna be hard for her to knock him out.
All right, here's the real jawbreaker. Age of the actress Kate Blanchett closest to. Matt, lock her in.
40 on the nose. 40 years old.
We got 40 on the nose. Lock him in. Got him locked in at 40. Your guess. You know, are you familiar with Kate Blanchett?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say, I want to say 46, but I'm going to go 43.
46 years old. We give that to John.
All right.
He's
wow.
John wins this one.
She looks
handshake.
Good, though.
Give a handshake.
She looks good.
John wins this
good.
One.
It was a good match. It was a good match.
Good
is
match.
This the first time you beat Matt Kay in trivia?
No, he beat me a couple times.
No, I beat him the first couple times on the show and then got my tail whipped the last two times. So I'm a little nervous about this one, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
It was the tiebreaker.
It was a tiebreaker. Went down to the tiebreaker.
Well, I'll see you next year, little flamboy.
Boy, oh boy. Good stuff here.
Absolutely.
And you know what the best part, too, is? We actually have a sponsor of the trivia segment, Matt.
Yeah, we do. And here's the thing. We have listeners not only all over the country, but we do have them all over the world. And some of them might be looking for jobs. So check out jobfairworldwide.com. For more than a decade, they've strived to inspire people to improve their lives. They have a local presence in key markets in North America, Europe, Asia, all over the place. So go to jobfairworldwide.com and get yourself employed.
I like it.
How about that?
Love it, actually. Love it.
We thank them for their support.
Awesome. Boy, oh boy, it's been a blast out here at Statesville Haunted Prison, hasn't it, Matt?
Yes.
A scary good time.
Always, man. Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for having fun. Thanks for going through the haunt and... thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, and again, for the jawheads listening to this that are thinking of coming out, your recommendations are come out on Thursdays, correct?
Yeah, come out on a Thursday. Yeah. Very small lines.
Yeah.
Very small lines on Thursdays.
And buy your tickets online, jawheads. Saves you guys a whole lot of hassle. Get out here. It's so much fun. Even while you're waiting in line, it's a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would hope so. We got some great front of house actors out there.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, we look at the waiting in line as part of the show. So.
I agree totally. And what was funny too, I just thought about this while we were going in between the haunted houses. It was like a day or two ago. We had that super moon. I don't know if you guys saw it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. And it reminded me so like Halloween-esque, like scary, and this full moon. It was so close and beautiful. And we were walking out here just now. It's like sort of brisk out there, but I love the fall and going through the haunted houses. And where we're at right here, you're a little bit outside of the city, so it gives you that scare. I don't know. I love it.
Yeah.
Can't recommend it enough. When are we getting to the fair on Navy Pier?
I don't know. We got to do that.
I know.
Let's go down there.
I love it. Maybe Saturday.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Boy, oh boy. Again, for the Jawheads who want to find out more about the web series, best place to do so is?
DaysOfTheLivingDead.com.
Do it. Do it, Jawheads. Matt, we got to thank our sponsors first and foremost.
Yeah, thanks to all the sponsors. Thanks to the new 400 theaters. Nope. We got a lot of sponsors. That's
we
good.
We do. And also, even though Elias isn't here, thanks to the best in the biz, Elias Rodriguez. He always helps us out.
I'm going to get you, Elias.
And obviously, we have to thank John LaFlamboy and Statesville Haunted Prison for hosting us out here. Thanks again, John.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I had a blast.
Awesome. So until next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on John about the news.